Sun is the day. This is very simple. In our moment. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
And how it is relevant to all of us.
So just repeat one by one with me. Nasti buddhi ayuktasya.
Nasti buddhi ayuktasya.
Nacayuktasya bhavana.
Nacayuktasya bhavana.
Nacabhavayata shanti.
Abhayata shanti.
Asantasya kudasukham.
Asantasya kudasukham.
Those of you who study Sanskrit and properly understand the simple language of this verse. Nasti buddhi ayuktasya. If your intelligence is not connected, or if your intelligence is ayuktasya, ayuktasya means is not properly engaged. Nachayuktasya bhavana. And if your bhavana, your mind, your heart, your life, is also not connected properly, is not properly utilized. Nachabhavaya rasanti. Then you will never have peace. Then you will never have a peaceful mind. Ashantasya Kulasukha. Krishna is asking at the end of this verse, how is that possible to be happy without having peace? So, I will read the translation I put for here by Srila Prabhupada. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Purport. Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all the good results of sacrifice and penance, that he is the proprietor of all universal manifestations, and that he is the real friend of all living entities, then only can one have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be the final goal in the mind. Disturbance is due to want of the ultimate goal, and when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with steady mind, bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and without peace. However much he may take a show, he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life. Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in the relationship with Krishna. So let's try to go deeper into the meaning of this verse. In the purport, there is a very profound statement that unless you have the ultimate goal clearly established within your mind, you cannot be peaceful. In one sense, Krishna is very beautifully explaining to us what is the ultimate meaning of our life. We all pursue some goals. So many people are trying to pursue some goals, to achieve different goals in our life. If we ask ourselves, what is our goal? We will see so many desires are there. I want to achieve this. I want to become that. I want to have this. So many people have this in mind very clearly. And basically, what is our life? Our life is pursuance of a particular goal. And people are trying to pursue different goals, but if we understand impartially what are the different goals which are there, we will understand that there are only two types of goals which human beings can have. One is ultimate goal, another one is intermediate goal. Unfortunately, most of the people are trying to pursue intermediate goals. Intermediate goals is the goal which you need to achieve something else. People think they need money. Is there money out in the golden light? If you only have money, and that's it, will you behave? No. You know, money is needed to achieve something else. And if we analyze what we need, ultimately we will see that whatever goal we only have to achieve something else. To achieve something else and something else. But there's only one ultimate goal which every one of us has. Every one of us wants to be happy. Ultimately, happiness is the ultimate goal of all our endeavors, of all our pursuits. And sometimes people don't understand because by trying to achieve intermediate goals, some temporary goals, they forget about the ultimate goal. Sometimes people are so busy working and working and working hard that they forget why do they work, for what they work. And Srila Prabhupada very interestingly makes a point. Please try to understand this very profound point, because this point is indeed can change our life. He says there cannot be any peaceful mind. There cannot be any established or clear mind unless we have clear understanding of what is our ultimate goal. If the goals are intermediate, if the goals are not ultimate, but just temporary goals which are trying to pursue, the mind will always be disturbed. And Krishna says, if the mind is disturbed, how you can behave? What people do in this world, they are trying to achieve this goal or that goal. Not really realizing that some goals, by definition, by the very nature, even if they are achieved, cannot make us happy. They imply, they pursue, they somehow have this understanding, underlying understanding, that if I have a car, I will be here. Or if I have a wife, or if I have a good home, or this or that. But it's not so. We have to really clearly understand what is the ultimate goal of our endeavors. People in this world, they usually try to achieve some material things. When we analyze our heart, we will see that within our heart we want this material thing or that material thing. Or sometimes, oftentimes, most of the time, we want money. You know, if I am here speaking to you, and I will tell you, I can give you a lot of money, you will listen very carefully. Because everyone thinks that money is very important, but money is not important in itself. Money is only important because we think that it can give us happiness. But is it really true? Once I was speaking with a group of rich people. They were quite rich people, very well established. Some of them were millionaires in Russia. There was 30 or 40 of them. Very, very rich people. And I asked them, please imagine that you have everything in this world. Everything you want. Everything which you just imagine something you have. Will you be happy? They said, maybe not, they were not so sure about it. I said, but just imagine that you have everything and nobody likes you and you don't like anyone. Will you be happy? They said, no, no, no. And then I said, just imagine for a second that you don't have anything. That everyone likes you and you like everyone. Will you be happy? They looked at me and they said, can we have both? So, the point is that people need love. People don't need money. Money is the way to buy something which can make us love. You know, some people think if I have a lot of money, people will love me. Right? And people really think like this. But if you have money, it doesn't mean that people will love you. If you have money, people will flatter you, that's for sure. People will try to do something for you to get your money. But it doesn't mean that you will be loved. But the ultimate message of our need is to speak in a very profound way, in a very scientific and scholarly way. His ultimate message of our need is about love. And everything else is the means to achieve love. This is not such an easy point to understand. But still, this is very important for us to understand that human beings by nature need only love. Because the love is the experience which can bring us happiness. Everything else is just the means to get love. So when people are trying to pursue some material goals, the mistake, very clear mistake which they make, is that material things cannot make us happy. It is said in many scriptures that by nature soul is sub, chit, and ananda. There are three parts or three qualities of our soul which are inherent to us. Sub means eternity, chit means knowledge, and ananda means bliss. And if we analyze ourselves, we will understand that we are trying to achieve these three things only. Everyone wants to live long life. And everyone wants some permanence in his life. If the life is always disturbed, if I always have to move here and there, I don't want to be happy. So eternity or sap, something real, is the constitution of our soul. Therefore, we are seeking for this. Chit means knowledge. And knowledge is something which everyone is hankering about. Like, for example, internet. This is the great achievement of the latest years. Why people are so much after internet? Because internet is trying to give us knowledge. You know, internet is the unlimited source of knowledge. People are going to colleges, going to universities. Why? Because we need knowledge by our nature. And ultimately, the finest manifestation, the final manifestation, the most important manifestation of the nature of our soul, of the dharma of our soul, is ananda, or bliss. And everyone is trying to pursue happiness. So we need these three things in life. But the problem is that material things, they are asak, achip, and nirananda. They are not permanent, they don't have any knowledge, and ultimately they cannot give us ananda because they don't have ananda. Something can give us something only if it has it. But material things by nature cannot bring any ananda to us because they don't have ananda. You know, if you take this table or any building or any materials or a car, you know, it doesn't give us bliss because it doesn't have inherent bliss. And therefore, when people achieve some material goal, after some time, they will realize that this is not something which I was trying to achieve. I know so many people who achieve this or that in their life. But after some time, they feel frustrated. They feel that something is wrong, that I didn't really achieve what I wanted to achieve. And they try to pursue another goal and another goal and another goal. But because, again, they don't understand what they need, they don't have peace in mind. They are trying to achieve something which they don't really need. I'm coming from Western world. By background, I was born in Russia. I visited so many countries in the world. So many times I was in America. And sometimes people, especially in India, they say, if I go to America, I will become gay. Please try to understand that American people are miserable people. They're really very, very miserable people. I was many times in America. Just a little statistic for you. 51% of American population, 51% of American population are mentally disturbed people. The most famous profession among the medical practitioners in America is the professionals who are trying to cure the mental illnesses of people. In other words, this Western civilization, which is after money, which is trying to give people material goal, this Western civilization ultimately bewilders people and ultimately does not give them the peace of mind, the ultimate. And if people are not peaceful in mind, they can't be in, and if they are not in, they cannot make anybody. And what we see in the whole world is going to hell because there are too many unsatisfied, too many unhappy people in this world. And they are unhappy because of the reason which Krishna very clearly and very beautifully explains here. He says, their mind is not peaceful because they don't know what they need. He starts this verse from saying that the first thing which they have to do is to connect our intelligence, our buddhi, with the supreme goal. And if this supreme goal is there, then our intelligence is connected. And when our intelligence is connected, it's peaceful, it's stable. Like, for example, if you go to the sea, and if you travel in the sea, and if there is a big wind in the sea, you know, you cannot be happy during the big wind in the sea on a boat. Sometimes I was in such a situation. You have the seasickness. You know, probably nobody of you ever experienced the seasickness. It's a horrible condition. Because it's always like this. So most of the people in this world, they have a kind of nausea or seasickness because they're always disturbed in their mind. But the only way is to become stable if you are on a boat and if there is huge wind and the huge waves are there. And we can see in this material world there are always some waves. Something is changing, some bad things is coming, so many, you know, wars or whatever. So the only way for the boat to become a little stable is to have an anchor. Right? You put an anchor, and this anchor has to be connected with something which is immovable. In the same way, if our intelligence is not connected with something which is immovable, unchangeable, always the same, the intelligence will be destined, will be doomed to be disturbed. And if the intelligence is disturbed, you cannot be peaceful. If you are not peaceful, you are not happy. And if you are not happy, nobody is happy around you. And if nobody is happy around you, the whole world is not happy, and nothing is good about life. So this we have to understand very clearly, that our little intelligence, our buddhi, and buddhi is a particular function of our mind or of our consciousness which helps us to achieve the goal. Our buddhi has to be connected with the goal, which is unchangeable all the time. When we analyze our life, we can see that our goals are always changing. When I was a young boy, I wanted to play toys. And I saw that this is a very nice goal. And then I went to school and I wanted to achieve something in the school, some academic achievements. Then I went to university. And in the university I was thinking, you know, I have to get a diploma, a nice diploma, and then I will get something else and something else. But that means that the intelligence has different goals. Goals are switching, changing, flickering. And because goals are not stable, the intelligence is not stable. Because the intelligence is not stable, the mind is not stable. Because the mind is not stable, there is no happiness and peace in the heart. But if you have the highest possible goal, and a little later I will tell you what is this highest possible goal, your intelligence is always fixed on this goal. And no matter what happens to you, you are stable. No matter what happens to you. So this is what we have to understand, that the highest goal has to be there. Because if the highest goal is not there, we will be tempted. In the previous verses, Krishna spoke very beautifully how you degrade your mind. He says, He's explaining how people are degrading themselves. And he says, the way to degrade yourself, the sure way to degrade yourself, Bhuhinasha Vinashe. Vinashe means you're finished. Vyayama Vishayam Pusa. If a human being is trying to meditate on the objects of the senses, something which is immediately pleasurable to my senses, without having the highest goal in their life, then everything else is more or less automatically false. Vyayama Vishayam Pusa Sangasta Supacharya. If you see something, you develop the desire to have it. No matter what it is. If you meditate long enough on certain object, you will develop the desire to have it, to possess it. Sandasya Supacharya, Sandasya Sanjaya Kama. Kama, the strong desire, will be switched on in your mind. When the mind is more or less geared toward this material goal, then, prabha, or anger, will start manifesting. Because you are not achieving what you want. Krodha is a certain psychological reaction which is there for us to help to overcome the obstacles between us and our goal. And then krodha, prabha is samoha. When you have krodha, when you are angry, when the anger is there, then you are deluded, samoha. You don't really know what you're doing. People, they commit heinous crimes because they're angry. You know, and then samoha, smriti brahma, from this samoha, from this complete bewilderment, you forget who you are. You forget what you are supposed to do. And then, when you forget what you are supposed to do, then, you know, bodhinasa, you lose your intelligence. And when you lose your intelligence, everything is lost. So Krishna is explaining this, and he says, it's only because people don't know what they need. Only because they don't really know what they need and where to find what they really need. We need God. Because he's the only one who has all we need. We need eternity, he has eternity. We need knowledge, he has complete knowledge. Bhagavad Gita, it's only 700 verses. But in the 700 verses, Krishna gave the whole knowledge which any human being needs. Thousands of people read Bhagavad Gita in Russia, read it again and again and again. One day they wrote me a letter. And this lady, she wrote me this letter that I'm reading Bhagavad Gita and I'm crying. Every time I start reading. Why? Because I feel this in my heart that every word in this book is true. And it is something which is spoken for me directly. Because this is the knowledge which I need to know. And who gave Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is God. Internet doesn't give you this knowledge. But Bhagavad Gita can give you the knowledge which can make you. And moreover, Krishna is the possessor of unlimited heavens. If we are connected with him by our intelligence, then the heavens which we need will automatically come to us, will be reflected upon us. It's a very natural and very easy process. If we are connected with the unlimited source of bliss, then the bliss is coming to us automatically. We are with this person, in connection with this person, who is always here. If you look at Krishna, and any picture of Krishna, what is he doing? He just played his flute. There was one German scholar. He was a very good Sanskrit scholar. And he came to India with the goal to find who is real God. Because he knew Indian philosophy, Indian stories, Puranas and everything. And he knew that so many gods are there. Shiva is there, Durga is there, Kali is there, and, you know, Ganesh is there. And he was going from temple to temple. He was going from pandit to pandit, asking, who is God, who is God, who is God? And ultimately he came to a conclusion that only Krishna is God. Why? Because all others, they have some battles. And they're busy engaging in some kind of fight. You know, Kali is riding on the tiger, and she has, you know, 10 hands, and 10 hands, she has so many weapons. And the only one who is playing flute is Krishna. Playing flute is the manifestation of the symbol of love. And it's much more difficult than to fight. You know, when we fight, one person gave a very interesting explanation. He said, when Krishna wants to fight, he uses one finger of his, this finger. He has his Sudarshan chakra. But when he needs to play, he uses 10 fingers. While playing on the flute, he uses all 10 fingers. Because love is the most difficult thing in the world. Love is something which is engaged in your heart completely, totally. And when your heart is overwhelmed with love, you are completely healed. So the point is there. There is only one goal which we all need, we need Krishna. No matter whether we understand it or not, everyone is searching for Krishna. Everyone is searching for Krishna in all the endeavors, because we are searching for eternity, knowledge and bliss. And the eternal source of knowledge and bliss is God, only God. We are searching for Him. And if we realize this clearly, then we will not waste our time by trying to find something else. Because in anything else, we will not find the ultimate happiness which we all need. There was a beautiful story in this regard. There was one man, rich man, who went on pilgrimage. And one thief, he saw that this rich man is going on pilgrimage. And he thought, maybe I will pretend that I'm also going on pilgrimage and I will use him. And when he's sleeping, I will steal all his money. So he pretended to be a nice pilgrim and he said, can I follow you? And the rich man said, yes, of course. So when the night came, this thief, he couldn't sleep, of course. He was waiting for this rich man to start snoring. So very soon the rich man started snoring. And the thief started searching for money. He was searching everywhere. He couldn't find money. He was really bewildered. And next morning, the rich man came. He took money from somewhere. He started counting the money. And so that was his part. And they pursued. So next night, the same story happened. The thief was trying to find money. He couldn't find money. 7 nights. He was trying to find money. Ultimately, he became frightened. He thought, maybe this man is a great mystic. Maybe he's a yogi. By some mystic power, he's hiding this money. So he became repentant. He came to this rich man in the morning and he said, I'm a thief. The only thing which I wanted to steal your money. But I couldn't find this money all day. I was searching everywhere. Please tell me, where you are hiding your money. And the rich man started laughing. He said, I knew that you were a thief. So I was hiding money under your pillow. Because I knew that would be the only place where you're not going to search for. So this little beautiful story is about us. We're trying to find happiness everywhere. And this material endeavor, and that endeavor, and this goal, and that goal. But we cannot find the happiness, because the happiness is under our pillow. We are not looking in the place where the happiness really is. There is another story about this one lady. She lost a coin, and it was dark. And there was some light somewhere, there was some lamp. And she was under this lamp trying to find a coin. So somebody was passing by and he asked this lady, what are you trying to do? She said, I'm trying to find a coin. He said, yes, that's very nice. Where did you lose it? She said, I lost it somewhere else. He asked, why do you look for this coin here? She said, because it's light here, therefore I'm looking here. But you cannot find the coin which you lost somewhere else, somewhere that it doesn't exist. So the point what I want to make is that we should look for happiness. We are all meant to be happy. The happiness is our real goal in life. But Krishna, in this little book, which is extremely important for all of us, he is explaining how to achieve the happiness. What we should do, what we should really find to become happy. And his verdict in Bhagavad Gita, the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, the last sloka of Bhagavad Gita, the Charana sloka of Bhagavad Gita, is Sarvadharma Paritya Mamikam Sarvadharma Paritya Sarvadharma Paritya. You don't have to be fearful of anything else. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be disturbed. Actually, our problem, our main problem in life is that we always disturb. And disturbance is due to fear. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavatam Purana, there is a beautiful sloka which explains the reason why people are fearful in this world. It is said that Bhayam Ritiya Vinivesha Ishata Vedasya Vipanya Yosviti. He said Bhaya or fear appears in the heart of a human being because they turn away from God. They turn away from God, and by turning away from God, they absorb in something which is secondary. Ritiya Vinivesha Vasya. They become absorbed in something which is not really relevant or important. So the main message of Bhagavad Gita is to give us understanding what is important and what is relevant in our life. There is only one thing which is really important and which is really relevant. It's our relationship with God. Because by the means of establishing this relationship, we will be able to become really happy. We will be able to get what we need. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Sat, chit, and anand. And this is the nature of our soul. So if we read Bhagavad Gita, this is the way how to connect our intelligence with the highest goal. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this is the highest goal. This is what you have to pursue in life. And this is, can make you happy. Everything else is a futile attempt to become happy. Is the attempt which ultimately will bring about only frustration. So my scientific presentation of our meeting today is trying to understand the ultimate purpose of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about different things. But the most important word in Bhagavad Gita is yoga. And yoga is coming from the Sanskrit root yuga. And yuga means to be connected. And here Krishna says, if your intelligence is connected, is not connected, then you don't have peace. If your intelligence is ayuktasya, if there is no yukta, proper connection between your tiny little intelligence and the highest intelligence, which is the source of everything, which is the source of this universe, if this connection is not established strongly within your heart, then you will not have peace in your life. And you will waste your life. And when the life is wasted, you will regret probably. And ultimately, you will not be able to find what you need. And of course, according to great philosophy, you will have another chance to be born. But who knows, maybe you will be born as a dog or as an American, which is probably even worse, or something like this. Anyway, my little message today is that we have a great treasure. And this treasure is with us. It's within our heart, and it is within this little book. As I explained to you at the beginning, His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. He explained Bhagavad Gita in such a way that everyone can understand what am I supposed to do if I claim to follow Bhagavad Gita. What it means for me to live according to the principles which Krishna preaches in this Bhagavad Gita. And we know that the most important sloka of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manmana Bhavana Bhagavato, Mamyaji Mamana Suru. Very simple. He says, think about me, Manmana, Bhagavana Bhakto, you become my devotee, you follow me, Mamyaji, you worship me, Mam if you cannot go this, at least 10 days to the school, go down. In this way, you will come to the first school, you will achieve the highest goal. So this is the message of Bhagavad Gita, and this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. This is the very one slogan which Krishna says, this is Bhukhyatama, the most secret of all knowledge which I have to say to you. And if you understand this, the happiness will come across. And this is why, basically, you know, here, as I said, thousands of people in Russia call Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because they want to become happy, and because they do become happy by following Bhagavad Gita. Because they do achieve eternal knowledge in this, because they do achieve happiness which they are looking for. So this is my little submission for all of you. Let's think about it. Bhagavad Gita is a great book, and I could speak so many other things about different books, about Artha, Kama, and Dharma, and Moksha, and everything which is there. But ultimately, Krishna wants to say to us that we need love of God, which is called bhakti. And bhakti is the most important treasure which we have to try to find within our heart. And this is the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they are all humble followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the greatest saint of India, who brought this message of love, divine love, to the world. And now the whole world is trying to follow it. Thank you very much. And now only one word to Malaya, Nandi.
Parents, you know, countries want to become independent
different states want to become independent. Kashmir, Jammu and Kashmir wants to become independent from India. You know, so many forces which are trying to divide us. It's very prominent phenomenon in this world that we have these divisions everywhere. But despite of this divisive nature of material things, we see that everyone is in one piece still. So Krishna, when he says that Sutrema Niganaiva, I am like a stream, he says, you can understand that God is there by the fact that everything is in one piece. That everything is harmoniously arranged. That everything has some law and order. If there was no unifying factor, the factor which is more or less kind of bringing all the pieces of this world together, this world could not remain in one piece. So, and we can see this principle, which is there. You explained that this nucleus of DNA is there, you know, it looks like it. String. It's a fact. We can see this principle is there in the creation. But the point of this verse, of this particular verse of Bhagavad Gita, is that Krishna is trying to explain that even though you don't see the creation, and we don't see God, and sometimes we may develop some doubts. Maybe there's no God. But he says, no, it's very easy to understand that there is God, because, you know, I'm the force which makes everything work, which actually brings law and order in it. We can see that everything is so harmoniously arranged. Like some people, scientists say that this universe was created by a Big Bang. Right? So the Big Bang. When we have small bangs, you know, the bang is a little small. What it will create? It creates chaos. It creates disturbance. It destroys. But when the Big Bang was there, it created harmony. Right? It created the sun, it created the earth, it created all these things. It created this amazing structure. How is it possible? What kind of bang it is? It must be very intelligent bang. Because a Big Bang is very intelligent too. So Krishna says, there is intelligence behind everything. We can see the intelligence behind the tiny parts of this creation. You know, and if we can see that everything is so intelligently arranged, we can presume that there is a highest intelligence which is behind everything. Nothing is happening without any reason, and nothing is happening by chance. You know, like scientists, some biologists, and I happen to be from this scientific background, they say that the human beings, they are here by chance. There was little, you know, something, and then this something became a human being. That's not possible. It's just absurd. If you take a tiny cell of your body, this cell is much more complex than the most complex computer. In one DNA, which is there in the tiny cell of your body, which you can't even see, there's so much information, which is more than many we can do. And then they say, yeah, by chance it can. It's crazy, it's ridiculous. So, in this verse, Krishna says this. He says, there is intelligence behind everything, because everything works so nicely. That's what he means by saying, I'm extreme in these beings. We can see the external manifestations, but behind this is the intelligence of the most important principle, which we call God. And the personal relationship is here with whom we have to see.
We go. Thank you.
And this verse which we read today, Nasipodhya Rekhasya Nachayita Sebhavana. Krishna says that you have to connect your intelligence with the highest goal and connect your heart, your bhavana, with the highest goal. These two things are very important in our life. Our buddhi, intelligence, and our bhavana, or our heart. And there is a very simple process how to connect our buddhi, intelligence, and our heart with the highest goal. And if you want, I can reveal this little secret to you. Do you want? There are two things which you need to do. Read this book, Bhagavad Gita. And this way, your intelligence and your heart will be connected with Krishna. And chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By reading Bhagavad Gita and studying Bhagavad Gita, your intelligence will be connected with Krishna. And by chanting the holy name, your heart will be strongly connected with Krishna. And then everything what you need will come through this channel. So this link between you and God. Thank you very much.